إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequence of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the topic of inhiraf al-shabab, yani the deviation of the youth and its causes. What are the causes of this deviation and what are the means of remedying it? And this yani topic was presented by Sheikh Sulaiman Ar-Ruhayli, wa alaykum salam, in the city of Medina, in the Masjid Quba, one of the important masjids that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us its many virtues. And from what we read yesterday in the hadith of Abdul ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit Masjid Quba every Saturday, raqiban wa mashiyan, riding and walking. And Abdul ibn Umar used to do the same. And the Shaykh, in what we read yesterday, have mentioned a number of important hadith, from amongst them hadith that indicate the importance of the masjid, specifically where the presentation was being made, and the masjids in general. And from amongst those hadith that are general and applicable to us as well is the hadith in which contains the mention that there are no people, ما من قوم يعني يجتمعون في بيت من بيوت الله, that there are no people who gather in any of the houses of Allah, يتلون كتاب الله, reciting the book of Allah, ويتدارسونه بينهم, and reflecting upon it or studying it amongst themselves, except that the Sakina descends upon them and the mercy envelops them and the angels surround them. And Allah mentions them to those who are in His presence. And this hadith is a very important hadith because it reminds us of the virtue and the excellence of gathering together in the masjids for the sake of learning from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh also mentioned the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in which, yani the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, in which Muawiyah came amongst some people who were gathered in the masjid, and he asked them, what were they sitting there for, what had brought them there, what caused them to be sitting there, and they said that they were sitting remembering Allah. And he mentioned to them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam similarly had came across a group of his companions who were sitting in the masjid, and he asked them, what were they doing? They said, we are doing no more than remembering Allah and praising Allah for guiding us to Islam, for guiding us to Islam and for the favors that He has given to us by way of Islam. And the Shaykh also mentioned other hadith and other ayats that talked about al-istiqama, yani being upright upon the straight path, and the importance of being upright, yani the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ told a man to tell him something about Islam that he wouldn't have to ask anyone else about it after him, and he said, "Kul amantu billahi thumma istaqim," say that you believe in Allah and then be upright. And the Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, يعني be upright as you have been commanded. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ, and those who have turned back to Allah in repentance along with you. And the Prophet ﷺ was also ordered by Allah, يعني قل إنني, يعني to say that indeed, verily, هداني ربي, my Rabb has guided me إلى صراط مستقيم, to a straight path, an upright religion, دين قيما, ملة إبراهيم حنيفة, يعني the upright way, the way of Ibrahim, which is to establish a tawheed, and that he was not, that يعني Ibrahim was not from amongst the mushriks. To the end of what the Shaykh mentioned about the importance, يعني the ayats and the hadith that mention the importance of being upright and being upon the straight path, and that the uprightness, يعني is only, there's only one way to uprightness, and that is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all other ways lead to destruction and deviation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ, يعني that this is my straight way, therefore you must follow it, this one way, and do not follow the other ways, for indeed they cause you to be separated from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally the Shaykh mentioned, يعني some of the various types of deviation, and he mentioned seven things. From amongst that which he mentioned is people يعني exaggerating and going to the extreme, and people who are negligent in the deen, falling short in what is required. And he mentioned people following desires and being misled by يعني doubtful matters, shubuhat. And he mentioned those people who fail to fulfill the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us, or those who engage in that which Allah has prohibited. And finally he mentioned innovation. And all of these are means through which people would be led astray, that they would be caused to deviate and they would go away from the straight path, the way of istiqam or uprightness, and they would follow the way of a shaitan. And again, there were a number of points that the Shaykh has made, and ayats and hadith that indicate the straight way is one way, the way of Allah, and all other roads and all other paths and all other ways are deviation. Every one of them has a shaitan at the head of them, calling people to it. So what we want to discuss today is, the Shaykh mentions the youth as it relates to deviation. Yani, what happens to the young people when they, due to one of these means, whether it's due to innovation or whether it's abandonment of the obligatory duties or engaging in that which is haram, or due to following their desires or doubtful matters that yani confuse them, whatever it might be that caused them yani to go astray. So what happens to the different yani young people? What happens to them when deviation falls upon them? So the Shaykh said, the youth, yani showing the importance of this topic, the youth are the strength of this society and the pillar of the community. The rectification of any society, rather any nation, is dependent upon the rectification of its youth. Once this principle is established, everything that opposes rectification in the society is repelled. For the youth, O brothers, as it relates to the ummah, is like the heart to the body. If the heart is rectified, then the entire body is rectified. And if the heart is corrupted, then the entire body is corrupted and will deviate. And that will subsequently affect the entire society. So this shows the importance of the youth and attending to the youth and giving attention to them and protecting them from deviation, because the deviation of the youth will cause the destruction of the entire society. In most cases, the young person inevitably has childishness with him. And young people are generally not mature. And of course, there are exceptions to that, but that's the general rule. Due to this, there has come, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous hadith of the seven people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in his shade. And from amongst them is a young person who has been raised and reared upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani a young person who is engaged and occupied with the worship of Allah even in their youth. And this is something unusual to find, a young person who is very immature generally, becoming engaged and occupied and enveloped in the worship of Allah. So the Shaykh mentions this hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبَعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. Yani that there are seven people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would shade with His shade on the day when there would be no shade except His shade. And from amongst them he mentioned the Imam that is Adil, the just Imam. And from amongst them he mentioned the Shab Nasha'a fi ibadatillah, the young person who was brought up and raised in the worship of Allah. And from amongst them he mentioned the man whose heart is connected to the masjids, so that when he goes out of it, his heart, yani, is yearning for the masjids until he returns to it. And he mentioned two men that love one another for the sake of Allah, and they gather upon this and they separate upon this. That is the love of Allah. And he mentioned a man who remembers Allah in seclusion when he is alone and nobody is present. And due to his remembrance of Allah, he sheds tears from the remembrance of Allah. And another man who, a woman who possessed yani status and beauty, invited him to do some evil and corruption, and that man rejected her, saying, Inni akhafullah, that indeed I fear Allah. And finally he mentioned a man who gives sadaqah and he hides it such that his left hand does not know what his right hand is spending. And although each of these people that are mentioned in this hadith of importance, and every one of these are tremendous characteristics that a Muslim should seek to be characterized with, to be from amongst them, however, the important one from amongst them that the Shaykh yani intends here, and Allah knows best, is the young person who's raised upon the worship of Allah. And today, if we look around us, even in the Muslim countries, we will see that many, too many of the young people, they have deviated from Islam and have gone far astray. And they don't have any concern or care about the deen. And this is what we find not only in the Kafir country, but even in the Muslim countries to a great extent. After this, the Shaykh mentions that it has come on the authority of Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty and the majestic, that he is amazed by a young person who yani is not, yani who doesn't have the characteristic of childishness, yani who's not immature. This is indeed an amazing thing. It is unusual, but there are yani some young people who are very mature and responsible, and this is a wonderful thing. The Shaykh says, in our Islamic history and even in our current situation, there are many excellent examples of children who were brought up upon obedience to Allah. However, many of them, after being raised upon obedience to Allah, fell into deviation. But they differ as it relates to how they dealt with the deviation when they fell into it. From amongst them, yani some of them, from amongst them there is he who perceived the danger which had begun when its doors first opened. Yani when he first started to lean towards deviation, he recognized the danger, and he took notice of its evil outcome, and he had fear of his Rabb and his punishment. So he regretted that which occurred, and he rushed to desist from that deviation, and he had firm resolve never to return to it, so he was safe from it and from its evil effects. Indeed, regret is repentance, and the one who repents from a sin is like one who has no sin. So of course the Shaykh is talking about the youth, but this is also applicable to everyone who sees themselves going off the path and recognize the danger of it, and they fear their Lord and they fear His punishment, and so they yani retract and they return back to the correct path, and inshallah they repent from it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from the harm of deviation and its consequences. After this, the Shaykh says, from amongst the young people who fell into deviation after having been reared upon worship of Allah, he said, there is the one who perceives the danger, and he feels the pain of what he has caused himself to fall into from harm and confusion and distress. He desires uprightness, contentment of the heart and security, but his soul, and his nafs, and his hawa, his desires, control him. Yani the person sees the harm and the evil of what they have fallen into, but their lower desires take control over them. And likewise, the devils from amongst the jinn and mankind take control over them. So he delays returning to his Rabb and he continues in his deviation. Yani he realizes that he's in danger, he recognizes that he's in trouble, he sees the evil consequences of his deeds, but his lower desires are so strong, and the call of shaitan from amongst the humans and the jinn is so strong that he can't resist it, and he delays his repentance, and he delays turning back to Allah, and he hesitates to correct himself, and continues in his deviation. For this one, good is hoped for him. Yani there is hope that perhaps, even though he has delayed, eventually he will catch himself and return. And it is feared also for him that the catastrophe of deviation will overtake him. Yani there is hope that he might recover, but there is also fear that he may not recover. And this is the second type of young person, or any person, young or old, who sees the danger of what they have yani begun to engage in, but they can't yani resist their desires, and therefore they hesitate to repent and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, placing themselves in a tremendous danger. And it is reported on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a believer commits a sin, a black mark or spot or dot is placed upon his heart. If he repents and desists from this behavior and seeks forgiveness, then his heart is purified from that black dot. But if he increases in sin, then the blackness, the darkness on his heart increases. And this is the ran, the rust or stain, which Allah mentions in the Quran in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, in the 83rd Surah and 14th Ayat, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَقْصِبُونَ. Nay, but on their hearts is a covering of sin and evil deeds which they used to earn. Yani there is a blackness that may cover the heart if a person continues to persist in sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the person doesn't, yani catch theirself before it overcomes them. The third type, he said, and from amongst them, yani the youth or the people in general, when they yani begin to deviate from the straight path, from them there is he who has no concern for himself. Every day he causes himself to drown further into deviation in its various forms. Whether it's abandoning the obligatory duties or engaging in prohibited acts, or whether it's engaging in some kind of deviation or following desires or being misled by the doubtful matters, the shubuhat, whatever it might be, this person yani causes himself to drown every day further and further into the deviation in its various forms. For this one, it is fearful that death will come to him while he is in this state. Yani while he is in this state, drowning in deviation, in corruption, in filth, and wrongdoing and sin. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 18th Ayat, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارُ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدَنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death comes upon one of them and he says, now I will repent. Now I repent. The repentance at this point has no benefit. Nor for those who die while they are disbelievers. Nor for those who die in kufr while they are kuffar. For them we have prepared a painful torment. And the Shaykh mentions this in reference to what? In reference to the one who sees his corruption, his deviation, and just dives in all the way, with no concern whatsoever about his condition and the end result or consequence of his behavior. And finally the Shaykh says, and from amongst them, another group of young people who deviate, or people in general who deviate, from amongst them there is he who deviates, and the doors of desires, shahawat, are opened upon him. Due to that he thinks that he is from the foremost people in going to paradise. And he's so deceived by following his desires and engaging in his corruption that he begins to think that he is from the foremost of people who go into Jannah. He belittles those who are around him within the society. He looks down on everyone else. The circle around him becomes increasingly tight to the point that he belittles his brothers. Rather, perhaps the affair reaches the point that he belittles the scholars of the Ummah and his parents. He thinks that Islam is restricted to him and the small handful of youth that are with him. This youth, my beloved brothers, for the sake of Allah, is in the most dangerous type of deviation. And this is because the person does not know that he is a deviant. Yani, haven't we seen people who are upon pure deviation and they actually give the appearance that they are upon righteousness, that they are the best of humanity and they are the best of Muslims. And in reality, it is crystal clear to everyone else that they are upon deviation, but to themselves, they are not even aware of their condition. This person does not know that he is a deviant. Rather, he thinks that he has been scooped from the oceans of righteousness. So he has no inclination to make tawbah, and he closes his ears and his heart from hearing the truth and from hearing what he does not like. If you come to him and bring him a reminder, a piece of guidance, or something that will be of benefit, he doesn't want to hear it. Perhaps he may transgress against the houses of Allah, the masajid, and tear up the announcements for lectures which he does not like. If he doesn't like something, he removes it, while he has no authority to do so. So he does not listen to the truth. He does not respond to the truth. He does not come to the truth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah hajaba tawba an kulli sahibi bid'atin." And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocks the repentance from every person of innovation. And these are different types of people and how they respond to deviation. Those who, when they see themselves going astray, they catch themselves and immediately return to Allah. And some of them, they realize the evil of their behavior and the direction that they are going in, but they hesitate, they delay returning to Allah. And some of them are the people who don't care anything about their deviation and corruption, and they go into it full force. And there are others who have no idea whatsoever that they're even upon deviation, and rather think that they are better than the rest of the people. And these are the various types of responses that we find from amongst the people when they fall into deviation. And this is a great lesson for every person, because anybody might find themselves having, to some extent or another, fallen into some type of misguidance, or going off the path, or deviating from the straight path. And therefore, how will be their response? The correct response is the first response, that a person, once they realize that they are off track, to get back on track immediately, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for His forgiveness, and inshallah, be saved from the evil consequences of deviation. Here the Shaykh mentions, he begins to mention the reasons for deviation. What caused people to deviate? And the cures for it. And perhaps we will just read the first one, which is a little bit lengthy, and we'll save the remainder for the next time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, out of mercy for these youth, a desire to enlighten ourselves and our brothers regarding this dangerous matter, and a desire for us to traverse by the favor of Allah and His tawfiq upon the straight path and upon al-istiqamah, uprightness, and to avoid the paths of deviation and regret. For all of these reasons, I would like to present to my brothers this topic to clarify some of the reasons for deviation and the means to remedy them. What are some of the reasons for deviation? What caused people to deviate? This is the most important affair, to understand what causes people to deviate, to avoid those things, and also to know what is the remedy for it, what is the cure for it, what is the protection from it. So my noble brothers, deviation has reasons and apparent affairs. It has paths which at the beginning are beautified. Yani may be made to be made to seem attractive and thus deceive those who are short-sighted, who cannot see beyond what is in front of them. He who traverses upon them, upon yani these paths, his portion of deviation will certainly hit him. Yani he will indeed fall into some kind of deviation. The reasons for deviation, abandonment, the first of them is abandonment of the Quran and distance from the Sunnah. From those reasons for deviation, O brothers, is abandonment of the book and distance from the Sunnah. Abandonment of the book of our Rabb and distance from the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is from the greatest reasons for deviation. Abandonment of the Quran is indeed a path of loss and a path of destruction. Whoever abandons the Quran, and the Quran has been abandoned by the Muslims today. Yani who from amongst the Muslims actually gives the Quran its rights? And we see that there are thousands and millions of Muslims who don't have any concern whatsoever about the Quran. Abandonment of the Quran is a path of loss. Many of the youth, unfortunately, many of the Muslims have become such that they do not read the Quran except occasionally. And like in Ramadan or Jumu'ah or something like that. If they do read it, yani those who do read it, they do not reflect upon it and are not determined to be guided by its guidance. And if they do read it, they're not reflecting upon the meaning, nor are they reading it with the hope of being guided. They're just reading it as a pastime because of some occasion. Abandonment of the Quran, O brothers, as Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah has classified, is of different types of abandonment. And a Muslim should yani avoid every single one of these types of abandonment. All of them is abandonment. The first of them is abandonment of hearing it, listening to it, and reciting it. Yani a person doesn't listen to the Quran, nor do they recite it at all. Yani they have abandoned the Quran completely. The second type is abandonment of acting upon it and observing its halal and haram, even if one might recite it and believe in it. Yani a person might recite the Quran, but the second type of abandonment is a person maybe reads the Quran or listens to it, but they don't act upon it. They don't observe its limits of that which is lawful and that which is prohibited. And a third type of abandonment is abandonment of ruling by it and referring to it for judgment in the usul or the fundamentals of the deen, yani in the aqidah, and in the subsidiary branches of matters of worship. Yani abandonment of ruling by the Quran and referring to it for judgment, but rather ruling by something else and making judgments based on some other things. The fourth is abandonment of reflecting upon it and comprehending it and recognizing the intent of the speaker, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani abandonment of reflecting upon the Quran, contemplating the Quran, and recognizing in it what is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we read. And the fifth type of abandonment that the Shaykh mentions is abandonment of seeking healing and treatment by way of it for all of the sicknesses of the heart. And instead, one seeks the healing from the ills of the heart by way of other than the cure or the treatment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's seeking healing for the treatment of the illnesses of the heart by the Quran. One abandons being treated by the Quran. Yani this abandonment is abandonment of yani curing the sicknesses of the heart by the Quran. All of these matters, all five of these types of abandonment come under and within the complaint of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th surah and 30th ayat. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. And the messenger, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will say, O my Rabb, verily my people deserted, yani abandoned this Quran. And this, the Shaykh is saying that this ayah where the Prophet ﷺ will complain that the people abandon the Qur'an includes all of these types of abandonment. Absolute, total abandonment of not reciting or reading or listening to the Qur'an at all. Abandonment by not acting upon it. Abandonment by not ruling by it. Abandonment by not reflecting and comprehending its meaning. And abandonment of seeking treatment of the sicknesses and the illness of the heart through the cure of the Qur'an. All of this is included in this, in the complaint of the Prophet ﷺ that his people have abandoned or deserted this Qur'an. The calamity is increased and the distress is intensified if one places the Qur'an with other than it, or if one replaces, if one replaces the Qur'an with other than it from the newly invented matters which oppose what is in the Qur'an. Whether it is by way of doubts in that which is connected to seeking nearness to Allah, or by way of desires, yani whether it is by way of the shubuhat or the shahwat, yani that cause a person to replace the Qur'an and to follow something else which leads to misguidance, such as listening to singing or music and engaging in it, or by giving precedence to another book or the speech of a human being who recites poetry or sings nasheeds, and giving singing precedence over listening to the Qur'an. And this is very common. And we found once, I remember a brother came here, and he came to ask a question from Imam Ibrahim, and it was about whether or not the poetry that they were listening to, and some of these young people were making up some so-called Islamic poetry, and they are like rappers, but they are talking about Islam, and these people became so engaged in it. That's all they do, is they listen to this day and night. And this became a cause for them to abandon the Qur'an. And this is more dangerous, because the people who are listening to music, they know that that is deviation. But the people who are listening to this so-called Islamic rap, they think that they are doing something that is a part of righteousness. Naam, especially the young people have been destroyed by it, and some of the older people too. He who does this, then his, and actually one of the brothers sent me some links to this so-called Islamic rapping. SubhanAllah, this thing is so widespread, it's more than you can imagine. You can't imagine how many people who attribute Islam to themselves are engaged in this, and how many people are listening to them. Men and women. Men and women. And they all say that they are Muslims. And some of them are worse than others. Whoever does this, then his estrangement from the Qur'an is great, and his calamity is tremendous. Similarly, brothers being distanced from the Sunnah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is one of the major reasons of deviation. And Allah, the Exalted, says, وَمَن يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And whoever contradicts or opposes the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the right path has been shown clearly to him, and follows a way other than the way of the believers, we shall keep him in the path that he has chosen for himself, and burn him in hell, and what an evil destination. And this is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 115th Ayat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in warning, yani likewise, another ayat, warning and repudiation of deviating from the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 63rd Ayat, فَلْيَحْذِرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And let those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's command beware, be warned, lest some fitna befall them and a painful torment be inflicted on them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, declaring himself free from a people, he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not of me. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَالنَّهَارِهَا لا يزيغ بعدي عنها إلا حالك. And I have left you upon that which resembles whiteness or clarity. Its night is like its day, none deviates from it after my death except one who is destroyed. Yani the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crystal clear. Whoever deviates from it, they are definitely headed for destruction. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and others, and Shaykh al-Albani graded it as sahih. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is mentioned by Al-Hakim in the Mustadrak, and Shaykh al-Albani also graded it as sahih. Taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadullu abadan kitab Allah wa sunnata nabiyhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I have left amongst you that which if you cling to it, and if you hold fast to it and adhere to it strictly, you will never go astray. That is the book of Allah and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So abandonment of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a reason for destruction, misguidance, and deviation, and we seek refuge in Allah. So the treatment of this cancerous illness and this dangerous affair is that, yani, and this is the end of this point, yani, the treatment for this cancerous illness and dangerous affair is that the youth be cultivated upon the book and the sunnah by way of example from the parents. By way of example from the parents. It is extremely unfortunate that your children have begun to grow up under the care of parents who do not read the Quran except a little, yani once in a while. So the youth are cultivated upon the same lack of connection to the Quran. It is obligatory upon the parents to cultivate their children upon reading the Quran and upon contemplating it by being righteous examples to them and given importance to instilling that, yani the reading and contemplating of the Quran within the souls of the youth in the schools and elsewhere. This, O brothers, must take place within the Ummah, from its children to its elders, if it wants to save its youth from deviation and thus save the whole society. And we close with this statement from the Shaykh, the Imam, the Faqih, the man of the Sunnah, that is Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, who said, it is obligatory upon all Muslims, the men and the women, to travel upon this methodology and to have comprehension of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by way of the scholars of truth. And Anas ibn Malik rahimahullah and the people of knowledge after him who followed him stated, the latter part of this ummah will not be rectified except by that which rectified its first part. And the Shaykh went on to say, that which rectified its first part was clinging to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ummah traveling upon that and advising one another with it and cooperating upon it, yani upon the Quran and Sunnah. So it is befitting for us all to mutually advise and cooperate upon the Quran and Sunnah, and to give precedence to the book of our Rabb and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam above everything. And after this, yani the Shaykh mentions some of the other reasons. From amongst them, understanding the book and the sunnah in some way other than the way it was understood by the Salaf of this ummah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or correction. Naam.
So, according to the last day, we treatment for the
Naam.
It's for them to see their parents indulging
in
a religion which makes it relevant for them.
Naam.
Right?
To be an example. Naam.
Because if they become if they go astray and they still see their parents, you know, remaining on the path, this will make it relevant for them, or, you know, like, okay, I'm still Muslim, even though I'm still straight. And it makes it easy for them to come back.
Yeah, both. Both setting the example from the beginning, when they are young, letting them have this example. That will be what they will know, that the love and attachment to the Quran will be instilled in them from the time they are children. So hopefully it will protect them from going astray. But if they do go astray, they will still have a model that they saw in their youth, in their childhood, and that model is still before them. So it's something that they can go back to.
No. At least they have something.
They'll come back. They'll be able to come back. Inshallah, the children who have been raised upon the pure Islam, the Quran and Sunnah, correct Islam, and they have an example in those around them, whether it's their parents or their other family members, these, even if they go astray, it's likely that when things get bad enough and they're searching for some escape, they're going to go back to what they know best, that which they were raised upon, and that is going to be Islam. So there's hope for them that inshallah they may catch themselves before they are destroyed. But the example has to be in the adults, in the parents, and in the adults who they see around them, that they see that these people are attached to Islam, that they're attached to the Quran, that they give importance to it, that the Quran has a great status and a position of respect and honor. So that's instilled in them, and that's what's important. That's instilled in them, that this is not something foreign to them. They never saw the Quran being opened. They never saw the Quran being practiced. They never saw the Quran as being the guide in their life. Rather, the Quran is just something on the side. It's a book on a shelf that has no relevance in the lives of many people, and their children are raised on that. So what do you expect from them? Except that they're going to not have any attachment to the Quran, and this is the greatest cause of deviation. That a person's heart is not attached to the Quran, to reading the Quran and understanding the Quran and acting upon the Quran and living it. Now I'm going to repent. Now. It's too late. Too late. In any case, there's no doubt that what the Shaykh is saying here about the youth is also applicable to the rest of the people. Everybody is included. But the youth especially, because the youth is the hope for the future. And it's possible if the youth are saved, the society will be saved. And if the youth are corrupted, what future do you expect? What future do you expect?
I like when you stated that the youth is like the heart. This is just more clarification that the heart is the most important.
Nam, if the heart is pure and whole and upright, then the rest of the body is going to be like that. And the opposite is also true. Nam.
The age of children.
Well, the Prophet ﷺ said, order them to pray when they are 7 years old. Order them to pray when they are 7 years old. So that when they are seven, even though it's not obligatory upon them, but they are encouraged, they are reminded, they are, you know, given some incentive, and we should try to, you know, get them to start getting used to it. And then, you know, I mean, they reach the point at some point where they will, hopefully, accept that this is part of their life, and they will get used to it, and it will be easy for them. But if we wait until they reach the age of responsibility, and they have never been told to pray, and they didn't get used to praying, and they didn't get used to girls dressing, covering themselves, then at that point, when they're told you have to do this now, it's going to be strange to them. It's going to be foreign to them. So when they're very young, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to encourage their children to fast when they were children. And if they got hungry, they would give them some toys to play with, to distract them, so that they will still keep fasting. And it's not obligatory yet, but they're training them. They're training them. So we should start as young as possible. Encourage them to pray. They see their parents praying, they will be naturally inclined to pray. You notice that little children, if they're around people praying, they will be praying too, at least a little bit. They'll join in the prayer, do some bowing and prostrating, and try to do something. Even if they're not, they don't fully understand what's going on. That's natural because that's what they see. So then at that point, they're encouraged. Yes, pray. Come, pray with me. Stand beside me. Now, until when they reach the age of discretion, it will be something natural to them. It will not be strange. It will not be foreign. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.